Radio Prague News.
A memorial has been held to the parachutists who lost their lives after taking part in an operation to assassinate Nazi Governor Reinhard Heydrich. The head of the Social Democrats says they would not rule out supporting a government led by the Civic Democrats if the latter drops some policies. And the Czech Republic face an uphill battle to reach the knockout stage at the Football World Cup. A memorial ceremony was held on Sunday in honour of the Czechoslovak parachutists who lost their lives after taking part in an operation to assassinate the Nazi governor of Bohemia and Moravia, Reinhard Heydrich. Sergeants Jan Kubiš and Josef Gabčík and other members of their group were hiding in the crypt of Prague's Church of St. Cyril and Methodius when they were surrounded by German troops on June 18, 1942. They fought until dawn, but the situation was hopeless, and they chose to take their own lives rather than surrender. Sunday's memorial was attended by World War II resistance fighters and several politicians, including the Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek. Mr. Paroubek, whose Social Democrats came second in recent elections, said on Sunday he wouldn't rule out supporting a government led by the election's winners, the Civic Democrats. He said it depended on what concessions the Civic Democrats would make. Their plans for a flat tax and the privatization of public services are opposed by the Social Democrats. The Civic Democrats are trying to form a coalition with two smaller parties, but the three would be one vote short of a majority in the lower house. The Czech Republic are facing an uphill battle to reach the knockout stage at the Football World Cup. After losing to Ghana on Saturday, the Czechs need to at least draw with Italy on Thursday and hope for a favourable outcome in a game between Ghana and the United States. Czech defender Tomáš Ujfalusi and forward Vratislav Lokvenc will be suspended for the Italy game, while first-choice strikers Milan Baroš and Jan Koller remain doubtful. The Minister of Defence, Karel Kienl, has visited Czech soldiers serving in the city of Kandahar in the south of Afghanistan. The Czech Special Forces are taking part in a large operation there against Taliban fighters. Earlier on Saturday, Mr. Kienl visited a group of Czech bomb disposal experts and meteorologists at Kabul International Airport. A record 135,000 people visited museums and galleries in Prague during the third annual Museum Night on Saturday. Admission was free at all venues between 5 p.m. and midnight, and the capital's transport authority laid on extra buses for visitors. Fines for misusing, deliberately damaging or grossly disparaging Czech state symbols have tripled under an amendment which has just come into effect. The new penalty for abusing the country's flag or state emblem is 10,000 crowns. That's around $450. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more on our website, but for now, that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to the English service of Radio Prague, and I'm Dita Asiedu. In the next half hour or so, we'll be answering some of your questions in mailbox. I've prepared a letter from Prague for you, and in Czech books, David Vaughan meets up with the influential historian Norman Davis, who's written a number of books revealing the many layers of Central Europe and recently visited Prague. But we start with mailbox presented by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to Mailbox. In last week's programme, we talked about Radio Prague broadcasts on FM frequencies on the CBC in Canada, and we actually talked to one of our Canadian listeners who visited us here in Prague. Well, another one has written in since, Shirley Allen from Clifford in Ontario, Canada.
Would you tell me, what is the theme music that is used to close the one-on-one programme as broadcast on the CBC overnight service?
Well, we get asked that question quite often, so I hope you won't mind me repeating the answer once again. The one-on-one jingle is a song called Crowns by Money Mark from his 1999 album Push the Button. Money Mark is also known for playing the keyboard with the Beastie Boys. And staying with questions about music, Bob Boundy, who listens to us in Christchurch in New Zealand, had this query.
I have a question to ask. Is Roll Out the Barrel a Czech song or an English song? We had quite a difference of opinion with our Czech friends about this.
Well, the Beer Barrel Polka is originally a Czech song written by Jaromír Vejvoda. Radio Prague covered the story in one of our spotlight programs about the Prague district of Zbraslav, where composer Jaromír Vejvoda was born in 1902, and where there's now also a restaurant named after his most famous song. Few bars there of Zbraslavská polka, also known as Škoda lásky or the Beer Barrel Polka by Jaromír Vejvoda. And of course, a lot of beer is being drunk these days by football fans who are watching World Cup games in bars and restaurants around the country. The Czech Republic got off to a phenomenal start on Monday when they beat the United States 3-0 in their first match of the championship. And Christoph Breuten-Borbeck from Odenthal in Germany wrote to us as the game got underway.
Dear friends, I am just watching the FIFA 2006 Mondial with the match Czech Republic versus the US and Germany. May it be a fair match.
And Malik Amir Baksh from Pakistan was quick to comment on the game.
First of all, congratulations to my favorite football team, the Czech Republic, who won their first game against America. The Czech players played very well to win the match. I hope they win their following games and reach the next round.
Our regular listener Ashik Ekbal Tokon from Bangladesh sent us a text message from his phone.
Dear Radio Prague, congratulations on the great win against the USA in soccer. We're waiting to see more.
Thank you very much for those words of support for the Czech Republic's team. Keep tuning into our programs for the latest news on how they're doing in the World Cup. And that leaves us just enough time for our monthly competition question. Your answers have been arriving for the last 2 weeks and you have another fortnight to answer the following question. 24 countries of the world use dollars as their national currencies, with the United States dollar being the world's most widely circulated currency. But not all of those who use dollars may be aware that there's a connection between the dollar and the Czech Republic. What is the connection? Please send us your suggestions by the end of June to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, or english@radio.cz.
And Pavla will be back next week with more answers to some of your most interesting questions. The Czech Republic is dominated by smokers. This is a line that you've surely heard me repeat time and again in the 7 years that I've been here at Radio Prague. But an incident that I witnessed recently has made me reconsider. There seems to be light at the end of the tunnel for me, a staunch non-smoker. I was walking along the river Vltava one afternoon when I noticed three officers sitting in a police car. Something or someone must have caught their attention as they completely ignored a fight going on across the street. I followed their gaze and noticed that they were looking at two middle-aged men who were innocently chatting away but also smoking at a nearby tram stop. Then a tram came by in the opposite direction and two police officers got out and appeared. As soon as they were spotted by their colleagues in the car, their attention was drawn to the man at the tram stop. A minute later, they had put out their cigarettes and paid a fine, without discussion. Last week, I was having lunch at a restaurant when a woman stood up and kindly asked the man at the next table to stop smoking, and he did. Times are changing in the Czech Republic thanks to a law that came into effect on January the 1st prohibiting smoking in some public spaces. But the law has its opponents. Some smokers say totalitarianism is back in full swing with the state dictating to its citizens what they can and cannot do. Others complain that it is unclear where exactly tram or bus stops end, and officers have been abusing this. The police themselves say they've been given more work while the number of officers on patrol has remained the same. But apparently, public transport officials have also taken up the fight against smoking. A group of young women have reported that a bus driver refused to sell them tickets because he had seen them smoke at the bus stop. He even went as far as to turn off the engine of the bus and demand they get out or else face the police. So the women chose to get off the bus. Now, though the new law isn't perfect, it seems to be bringing quite a bit of money into state coffers. Since it came into effect, a total of 750,000 crowns in fines was collected by the police in Prague alone. That's around $33,500. On average, some 1,500 smokers are caught breaking regulations every month. But the Civic Democratic Party, which has been one of the biggest opponents to the law, has just won the general elections. It argues that a law which bans people from smoking outside infringes on citizens' basic rights and freedoms. The Civic Democrats are currently in talks on forming a new centre-right government. So for non-smokers like me, it may be too early to rejoice. And that was my letter from Prague, and now it's time for me to say goodbye and let David Vaughan take over from here with checkbooks. Don't forget to keep those letters coming to either english@radio.cz or 12099Prague2 in the Czech Republic, of course. All the best.
Norman Davis is one of the most influential contemporary historians of Central Europe. His writings on Poland have had a huge influence on our perceptions of the country, and he is unusual as a historian in his tireless attempts to reach a broader public, beyond the dusty shelves of academia. Last month I managed to catch up with Norman Davis here in Prague. When we began our conversation, I was more than a little surprised to find out that he has very personal memories of Radio Prague.
In 1967, to begin with, when I was a student in Krakow in Poland, the international service of Czech radio was, I think, the only foreign English service I could receive, and I used to listen to it. And they had an essay competition, which I happened to win. So I came during the Prague Spring of Alexander Dubček, which was quite exciting in itself, and I received my prize, which was an embroidered tablecloth, which we still have at home. And brings back a very exciting time of my life.
Of course, Norman Davis wasn't in the Czech Republic just to reminisce about Radio Prague in the 1960s. He was launching the new Czech translation of one of his most widely discussed recent publications. In Microcosm, Norman Davis and his fellow English historian Roger Moorhouse take us on a gripping journey through the history of one of Central Europe's great cities, Wrocław. It's a city that has been known by many names over the centuries: Breslau, Vratislav, Vratislavia, Wrocław. The names in themselves reminding us that this is a place with a many-layered history. The city is in the southern Polish region of Silesia, which until 1945 had long formed part of Germany, but its links to what is today the Czech Republic run very deep. As the book's title suggests, in many ways the history of Wrocław is a microcosm of much that has happened in Central Europe over the last millennium, moving between different spheres of political influence and different languages, and suffering the traumas of war, destruction, and the mass movement of peoples. and it has roots, as Norman Davies reminded me, that are distinctly Czech.
1,000 years ago, more than 1,000 years ago, in the 10th century, when the earliest records of the city of Vratislavia in Latin originated, the city was in the Kingdom of the Czechs. And
at that time, was there really a clear distinction between the Czechs and the Poles as such? You mention it in the book that the languages, to what extent were the languages distinguishable?
Well, I'm not a philologist, but the earliest records of the Polish language date from the 13th century, that is from 300 years later. And it's quite clear that Polish and Czech were growing apart. They were becoming more different. So in the 10th century, one can fairly deduce that they were much closer. And in the province of Silesia, which was between the heart of the Polania in Wielkopolska and Bohemia, one doesn't know whether the language taught there was closer to Czech or closer to Polish. I don't think there are any records to answer that question.
And the link with Prague, Bohemia, went on for centuries, didn't it?
For obvious geographical reasons, Wroclaw is close to the mountains of Bohemia. So there's very close human trade contact throughout the centuries. But the Czech influence waxed and waned. It was obviously very strong in the earliest period. Then the Piast Poland appeared and was a power in the land and rebuffed Czech influence to some extent. Then in the 14th century, Silesia was passed to the Crown of Bohemia, and for 200 years, Silesia was part of the Czech Crown lands. It was only in the 16th century that the Habsburgs appeared and took over both Bohemia and Silesia. So, yes, there's a very close links between both the peoples and the states of the region. One of the blemishes of modern historiography is to look at the past through modern eyes, to look at the Poles and Polish territory as being something entirely separate from the Czechs and Czech territory, and it just wasn't like that.
What about, you mentioned the Poles and the Czechs, what about the Germans? Obviously there was already, in the Middle Ages, there was this growing German element in the history of Wroclaw, Breslau.
Yeah.
Is that the case as well with the Germans, or were they more distinct?
The German migration, the great movement of German settlers to the east, affected Bohemia and Silesia and Pomerania in the north in exactly the same way. Whatever, the Sudetendeutsch and the German Silesians were essentially part of the same movement. And they affected the life of the big cities, like Prague or Wroclaw, in a very similar way. The German element was secondary to begin with, but then when these provinces were taken over by the Habsburgs and they became part of the Habsburg state, Germanization developed much more rapidly. The difference between Prague and Wroclaw later on, or Breslau, is that Breslau became Prussian, whereas Prague remained Austrian, and then you got a new layer in Silesia which didn't affect Bohemia.
One of the things that fascinates me is in the book, when you're talking about the later history, the fact that, well, by the time of the Second World War, it was an almost entirely German city. The population was completely changed. It became a Polish city after the war. And yet, and it's also, I think, relevant to this country with the expulsion of Sudeten Germans after the war, in a strange way, the place seems to be stronger, but have a stronger identity than the people who live in it. It seems to survive even when the people have been completely exchanged, as it were, to use the common euphemism.
Well, I think the fabric of the city has its own history. The Gothic medieval churches of Wroclaw have been there for 700 or 800 years. The modern population has only been there for 60 years. So, in a way, the city has a history, a record, and a material story which is separate from that of the people that live there. One of the many false slogans which the communist regime introduced into Silesia was that the stones themselves have always been Polish. It's simply not true. The stones, if anything, were built and put together by people of different cultures, one of which was the Poles. But the German influence increased under Austrian rule and then under Prussian rule until, as you say, in the beginning of the 20th century, Breslau was the second city of Prussia, one of the very greatest German cities.
Microcosm is not just a study of the distant past. One of the most fascinating chapters in the book covers the extraordinary period after the Second World War. Norman Davis argues that unlike in Czechoslovakia, where there was initially considerable support for communism, the communists never enjoyed popular sympathy in Silesia or in Poland in general.
The history of communism in Poland is very, very different from that in Czechoslovakia. The Czechoslovak communist movement was a genuine political movement with genuine believers and supporters, and it had its moment of independent influence at the end of the war. You have to remember that the Czechoslovak government returned from London freely. A treaty was signed with the Soviet Union, and Stalin allowed the Czechoslovak government to come back and for the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia to operate in a free environment for 3 years. And then, of course, they hit it on their head. But that never happened in Poland. In Poland, if you can imagine, Stalin killed the entire leadership of the Polish Communist Party before the war, during the purges, in 1937 to 38. Thousands of them, not a few individuals. As a result, during the war and at the end of the war, there were no communists, no genuine communists still alive to play the role that they played in Czechoslovakia. Apart from that, Stalin and the Soviets in general were very hostile to Poland. Poland is much bigger than Czechoslovakia. Poland had fought against the Germans. Poland had fought against the Russians. So the entire treatment of Poland after the war was very different from that of Czechoslovakia. There were a few people in Poland who were optimistic about the future, but if you read the horrors of the Warsaw Rising, where the capital of Poland was totally destroyed because the Red Army sat and watched it happen, you understand there was nobody of importance in Poland who was going to freely support the communists.
I was talking to historian Norman Davis, whose History of Wroclaw, Microcosm, was published in Czech translation last month. The original English version was published by Jonathan Cape in London. And that's all from Radio Prague for today. Please do tune in again tomorrow. From me, David Vaughan, and all of us here in Prague, goodbye. Thank you.
Osvobozuješ se, uvolňuješ se, ruce ti visí volně podél těla. Opakuji, osvobozuješ se, uvolňuješ se, ruce ti visí volně podél těla.